The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John and son of Zechariah in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Last night, we were blessed to have a group of teenagers from one of the Presbyterian churches in town, and they're going around to different churches, and I didn't even know about it at the beginning of Mass. I had no clue, but our confirmation sponsor, the staff member kind of working with our confirmation students, James Armstrong, was here, and that group was sitting in the back with their adult chaperones in the back, and one of them said at the end of Mass, they said a couple things. One of the things they said at the end of the Mass is they're like, what's that big gold book? What's that big gold book they're holding up when they're going? Because they're just coming, and we're all learning processes and different traditions that are in churches and things. What's that big old book? Well, we know what that big old book is. That big old book is the book of the Gospels, and it gives special place, right? Our Deacon Michael lifts up that book, and as the deacons lift up the book, because they're the deacons of the Word, and obviously the Word of God comes to us as the Word of God came to John in the desert. It's the same Word. The voice may change. First reading, Psalm, second reading. But when it comes to the book of the gospel, that's lifted up in a special way. And it was beautiful this morning in the silence that it's come, because the word of God can come to this, the silence of every day of our life. We memorize in our heart. The word of God comes to us as the word of God came to St. John in the desert. And so as our good deacons do, they lift up the word of God as the priests at the moments of consecration in our ministry, because Jesus uses our hands as Jesus uses their hands to hold up the book of the gospel, which is literally when we read the gospel, it is the words of Jesus. What Jesus said when he was walking on this earth. Now we know the entirety of the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, is the living word of God. St. Paul's writings and all that. But we have an Old Testament reading, Baruch today. We have a reading from St. Paul, you know, second reading, right? That is the living word of God. But the gospel is particularly calling our attention to Jesus speaking to us in the today of our life. So the deacons hold up the book of the gospel, just like the priests hold up the consecrated host. Hold up the consecrated host, right? And so what is that as we come to Mass and in an active participation, what is that telling us? Those signs and symbols that we have that are more than just signs and symbols. They're pointing to a reality that exists. And that is, hope is here. Hope is here. So Deacon went over there to Ambo to proclaim the word of God. Hopefully in all of our hearts, in my heart, it was there. Hope is here. Jesus wants to speak to me today. And maybe I've heard this gospel every year, every Advent, same old, same old. But our lives are different. We've journeyed in a different way, so it comes at us from a different angle and speaks to us in a different way. Why? Because we believe in the God of the present. And so let's stick with our theme for this Advent. Hope is here. Last week we spoke about hope anchored in Christ brings meaning to our life. Hope is here, and because hope is here, meaning is here. Meaning for our life is here. Because Jesus says, I am life. So we draw our life from Him. So we know hope is here. Can't tell you how beautiful it was this past week. Get it every now and then, and I love it. It's just to show that the Holy Spirit's working in all of our hearts, and messages are kind of landing in a way and touching our hearts in a different way. But ultimately, it's the Word of God that touches our hearts and speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. You know how cool it was last Sunday to receive a text from a mom where her middle school boy, preparing for basketball season, literally wrote with a Sharpie black marker, hope is here, on each of his shoes, and drew an anchor. A dad who he and his wife and their family had a tragedy this year that was earth-shaking. They're still dealing with that tragedy. Sends me a text with a flipped-over coaster that just looks like cork coaster with a black Sharpie marker, just an anchor on it. Because that anchor was a symbol for hope for him in a moment where they're struggling with a loss. And then to have one of our seniors who loves to paint, she sent me an email with several rocks that she painted purple and drew gold anchors on and put hope above it. And just reiterated back to me, hope anchored in Christ brings meaning to my life. Father, thank you for that message. Praise God on that. I don't claim it as my own, by no means. But how can we make the living Word of God more and more relevant to our lives, to touch our lives, to carry with us into our Monday? It's not about, Father, preach to my Sunday. It's preach to my Monday, preach to my Wednesday, preach to my Friday. What I got coming up? You'll find, if you look hard over there in the nativity scene, I had her bring in one of those rocks, purple rocks. She's got them positioned around the church with hope. There's one on the pathway up to the manger. Why not? Beautiful little reminders, little things that help us, not just to talk to talk, put a post-it note up, an anchor, or something on your computer or on your desk. No. But to live it. So hope is here. We talked about last week, too, how, and it's not judging, but, and maybe you haven't experienced this, but I've found myself experiencing it at times talking to people, how people that we run into could be almost like they are sleepwalking through life. In other words, life doesn't have meaning. They're kind of struggling for meaning in their life, purpose in their life. They've achieved everything, but they're like sleepwalking, just going through the motions. This week, as we look at the living Word of God, we can almost see in a way, and maybe you haven't experienced people like this, maybe you have, but people who are walking through this life like walking wounded, people who are wounded, like someone walks into a doctor's office in an emergency room, and immediately the doctor can tell they're wounded, and they go right into triage, do this, do that, this person first, that person second, and sometimes our wounds, and guess what, we all have them, can be concealed with all kinds of other stuff. But through signs and what we see in people's life as they're walking through life, not judging their hearts, but judging actions at times, we can see that there's a lot of wounded people. And if we're all honest, truly honest, we will all say, myself included, we're all wounded. And that wound comes in original sin. And baptism doesn't even take that away. It takes away original sin, but not the inclination to sin. The wound remains. Why do I do what I don't want to do? So as we look at a landscape of the world, we say, what's going on? The same stuff's going on that's been going on since the fall of our first parents. It's called sin. Yet St. John Paul II, in the 80s, one of the things he said, which is so powerful, like a prophet, he said the greatest sin of modern man, and when we speak as church, of man, we mean humanity, man and woman, boy and girl. In Spanish, it's hermanos. It's los hombres, which includes everybody. Same with Italian. All these other languages, when they say that, man, in their language, they know instinctively it means man and woman. So John Paul II, St. John Paul II said the greatest sin of modern man is the denial of sin. The denial that sin even exists. Do I know I'm wounded? Do I know I'm wounded and it's okay that I'm wounded? Because hope is here. And because hope is here, my brothers and sisters in Christ, not only meaning is here, healing is here. The divine doctor is here. It's the divine doctor who speaks to our heart through the living word of God, and it's the divine doctor who gives his very self to us in the Eucharist. He's the answer. Hope is here, and so our desire would be to bring people to encounter this hope, to find healing here. John the Baptist in the gospel today was a voice of hope, a voice of healing. And people came to him. It's the same healing that our beloved Lord wants for each one of us today. I want to share with you a story of a religious sister, Sister Christina, a missionary charity who I met in St. Louis, Missouri, way back in 2006. And she was telling me a story of a gentleman around this time of the year who was in one of their homes. I think it may have been New York City or somewhere else. And he had a rough life from the beginning, a very rough life. And if we could see the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, as God could, when he stepped from the boat and his heart was moved for compassion with them because they were like sheep without shepherds, if we could truly see the hearts of people from their childhood up to their adulthood, it would probably answer all the questions to why people act the way they act, because they did not get the proper healing for their hearts. You see, because if we're wounded, and we truly know we're wounded, there's two ways to handle a wound. No different from a physical body if you go see a doctor. You go to the doctor prescribes a prescription, gives you some advice on what to do. You're free to listen to the doctor or do what you want. And if you do what you want, you got a broken leg and you just keep walking on it, you may have an even more serious injury. But we follow the doctor for our physical injuries. So for a wound that's deep inside that we don't see, impacted by sin in our life, not acknowledging that we're wounded, what can happen is we can react, and I'll be the first to raise my hand. I've fallen into this. I have. Because I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I'm wounded. So the first reaction is not to go to the divine doctor, who if we go to, he provides that healing. It'll take time for the healing. It may not be completely healed in a lifetime. The dad who did the coaster with the anchor, his healing is not going to come in this life. As I told another dad who lost a loved one over lunch this past week, you're probably not going to get over it because I'm not getting over my family members who have passed. You don't get over it. The healing doesn't completely come in this life. That's why when we celebrate Mass after purifying the vessels, we say, what is past our lips is food, O Lord, the Eucharist. May we possess in purity of heart what has been given to us in time. May it be our healing for eternity, in eternity, completeness of healing in eternity. So one way is to go to the divine doctor in this life and receive healing. And the medical members out there, doctors and nurses can correct me on this, but it's my understanding that if someone has a wound and that wound becomes a scar, the strongest tissue in the body is scar tissue. Not that we get wounded so we can be stronger, but that tissue gets stronger. So when we're wounded, we get our wounds properly tended to, and they heal with the help of God's grace, we can become stronger, more compassionate, more like Christ, more willing to bring what? Healing to other people. Because we've experienced healing. That's one way. Go to the divine doctor. The other way, which we can see, not judging the hearts of people, is if the wound remains open, the wound continue gets ripped open, salt continues to go on the wound, people lash out at other people. They lash out. They can all they can do to handle that wound is to blame, is to point, is to fight, is to be angry. And that leads me to my story about Sister Kristen, Missionary Charity. You see, because she went walking into the room of this gentleman who had a very rough life. Wounds all over him from his drug addiction. They found him nearly dead in a park. Sisters brought him in and working with the poorest of the poor started to heal his body. But he was angry. And it was his birthday. So she brought in a birthday cake. His bed was right here. Laid the birthday cake that she and the sisters made themselves on a table over here. Turned around and went back to wish him happy birthday. Before she'd get a word out of her mouth, he picked up the bedpan. Those of you who work in hospitals know what's in a bedpan. It's the stuff that goes in the toilet. Took that bedpan, threw it all over. Threw it all over in disgust. Threw it all over. She just looked at him and smiled. Walked out of the room, didn't say anything to him. She said it to me. She said, "Father, I deserve that bedpan." I was like, wow. So she goes back and she changes her sari, or what they wear, Missionaries of Charity, the outfits of people in India. Cleaned up the best of her ability. 20, 30 minutes later, comes back in the room. Looks at John and says, "John, happy birthday. May I cut your cake?" He broke down crying. He said, "Why aren't you mad at me? Why aren't you yelling at me? Why aren't you angry at me? My whole life, people have been mad at me, angry at me. I've experienced no love. And all y'all do around here is just show this fake love. You're inauthentic. You're not like the world out there. You're doing it. I don't get it. Why are y'all so nice here? Why are you so caring here?" She looked at him and said, "Because Jesus. I love Jesus in you." With eyes full of tears, he said, "I want that. I want that." So he surrendered to the healing of God. See, baptism, confirmation, the Holy Eucharist. All because Sister Krista knew how to do it right, like John the Baptist. You see, it's a spiritual work of mercy. She was doing the corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, tending to the sick. But there's seven spiritual works of mercy: educating the ignorant, praying for the living and the dead, and for sure she had to pray for that guy who threw the bedpan on her. But also, and we can do this with kindness, with love, and with caring, because it's truly caring for a soul. The spiritual work of mercy of admonishing the sinner. Her charity, her love, like Jesus' love from the cross, calls to conscience our sinfulness and our need for healing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hope is here. Hope is here, and Jesus invites us this weekend, this day, to be a voice of hope. This is the bottom line in this homily. Be a voice of hope. Jesus gives us his heart. When I come to Mass on Sundays, Do I strive to be a voice of hope? Or do I come and just sit in my little pew, check my block, and then leave and don't talk to anybody? Do I recognize the visitor or the stranger that's here? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know every Mass here at St. Gabriel's, there are people coming who are church shopping. They've been away from the church for 15, 20 years. They're trying to find hope, and they're trying to find a welcoming, and they're trying to find joy. The church has to change. We have to become more like Jesus. We have to bring that message of hope to help people realize that hope is here, that healing is here, and be those voices of hope in our world. No more pointing. No more complaining. No more looking out there and saying, this is what needs to change in the world, whether politics, whether this, that, or no, what needs to change in the world is you and me. That's what needs to change in the world, each of us individually, to encounter that hope is here and to go forth and be, truly be, voices of hope in our world. To receive healing first, and to be those who offer healing to others. Father Mike and I are offering on Friday nights. We're bringing in two extra priests. Four priests from 4 to 6 on a Friday night. Music going on in here. We're doubling up on Saturday mornings. We're doubling up on Saturday afternoons. We're not going to do a penance service. We want to invite everybody to get in that beautiful, beautiful habit of seeking that sacrament of healing at least once a month. Keep us gainfully employed. I'll tell you what we're going to say. We're going to say what Jesus tells us to say, that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he wants to bring that healing to you, and please forgive yourself. Let him forgive you. Let him heal your wounds so that we can be those instruments, those witnesses to hope, witnesses to healings in our times. Here's the close. Be a voice of hope. If you haven't drawn your anchor, painted your anchor, done it with a graphic design, your anchor, whatever, however you want to do an anchor, do some kind of anchor to be a sign, a symbol of hope. And be a voice of hope this week. And help someone realize, too, that hope is here.